Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, hello. Welcome to another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey Damo, Daisy and Duck, round 18 done and dusted. It feels like we're getting to the clock tower at Flemington. Damo, we're getting towards the business end of the season. It's cranking up. Plenty going on, plenty happening as I welcome the three gentlemen to my left. Good afternoon to you all. It's always, Daisy, interesting when we look at the attire because we get a sense of the urgency in our day. And Duck's got the casuals, the tracksuit and the walking gear on today, so he's not in a rush.
He's clearly been out to the sponsor because there is ticks going everywhere. There. It looks like a mangy dog. He's got so many ticks.
Should have seen the whole family walking around in the gym. It actually looks quite bad.
Do you still have to pay? Is your Nike deal for life? Like, do you still have to pay for anything or is it all free forever?
They still look after me, which is I'm very, very lucky. But it is a bit weird when you walk out the front gate and you've got everyone dressed up in their Nike gear, brand new, everything, which is great.
And it's Damo today that's busy, Daisy. Yeah. He's come in. He said, come on, boys, let's get the show going. On wall-to-wall of meetings, Damo.
It's been a busy Wednesday, Joey. Yeah, it started at about 6 and had a breakfast in between. And I sound like Duck, don't I? I've got meetings to get to.
Yeah, so we'll get a move on. Nice jacket too. Well, isn't he looking sharp? What do you think, Damo?
I'm not sure about the jacket.
It's a Roman purchase, Duck, many years ago, just before lockdown, actually. Just the month before lockdown over in Rome.
Yeah.
And Daisy,
not
you?
Sure, Duck.
Must have been cold coming down from the peninsula this morning. You've got the Home Alone gloves. What's his name from Home Alone?
Marv, you've got
the Marv gloves.
I haven't been doing any crime. I was back home in Warrigal last night, so I went back. I also had a function. It was just a chance to get back and give back to the local community.
It's got a little bit of back alley about it.
Doesn't it? A bit of Warrigal about it, the kit you've got on.
No, it was good. It was bloody cold, though. The frost everywhere and... so very, very cold. And what have you come as? You've been in the skate park.
just my casuals today. Not much. I've got a hat. I'll get a haircut.
He's a bit confused where he sits at the minute, Joe. He's getting a bit older, but he's still dressing like a skateboarder.
Hey, big week. Plenty happening in the world of footy. Geelong flexing their muscles, Duck. Are they for you now the premiership favourites?
For me, yes, they are. I think, well, clearly they're in the best form right now. So if you were to pick anyone, I think you'd be crazy not to be picking the Cats, given what they did to Melbourne not all that long ago.
And the fact they've been able to get through 3 of the 4 weeks without Tom Stewart with a minimum of fuss and arguably become a better team without him, it's been forcing them to play roles of players. And the emergence, and I know it's not a secret, I know he's already won 2 best and fairest, but Mark Blitzovs is he the most important player in the entire comp as an argument, if you want to mount that? I think if you wanted to mount that, you'd be pretty comfortable.
Probably the most versatile at the minute.
Most versatile then.
Forward, back, ruck, and now going on ball and tagging.
Yeah. Not forward. He never goes forward.
He sometimes goes forward.
1%.
Well, that's more than 0%. So that's sometimes.
Tom Stewart, has he got one more to miss or two? This is last week. He's back after this weekend.
Yeah, and that's been the beauty of what they've been able to get through without him. They just have not missed a beat. And the fact that the best, and again, some people's eyes, the best defender in the comp is about to come back into this mix. Look out.
And they've been able to do all of that with resting Dangerfield, getting that block into him. So he's up and flying again. He had a quiet one on the weekend. But Selwood looks fit and hungry because he's had a couple of rests along the way. They've always been able to do that for a lot of the years where they've finished top four because they get the early wins. And they're probably going to be able to rest a couple of those later in the year. Like I'm talking in 3 weeks' time.
I think Selwood will get one more, Duck.
Yeah, one more.
He's already had the two. And it was a key moment if you go back to that round 4 game when Brisbane came down and they were on fire. Yep. And they rested Selwood then. And he wasn't happy behind the scenes in that competitive way that he gets.
Yeah.
But it was a key moment for them, the way they reflect on it now, that we just made the decision then. He was forced to sit it out. They won the game of footy without him, and been good.
He's having a great year because of that.
Yep, freshing him up. He plays really well off a spell too when you talk about his beat. Yep. Just, can you peak too early? Are you concerned with eight wins in a row? There's 5 to go till finals. You've been in some great teams, Daisy. Is there a concern or do you think it's a bit of a myth? If you're playing great footy, you just keep rolling.
I think there is, to some element, you can peak too early. But as we've spoken about, the way they're doing it and managing players almost with one eye forward as well whilst they're doing it is the pleasing thing. You know, we speak of the roulette trend of if it's going up red, don't just try and jump off and back the black because of it. Follow the trend. The trend's your friend. And winning form is good form. And I subscribe big time to that. If they were having to roll out their best team week in, week out and adjust getting the wins, and then I think there's an argument for that. But at the minute, the way they're doing it, I think they've clearly got one eye on making amends for a couple of the finals past, and they're going to prime themselves for a massive September.
And just quickly, this is a different team to what we've seen the last whatever years. I mean, they're playing differently. They've got more speed, and these young kids are coming through. So no longer do you need to see those senior players in the best. And I'm talking about Hawkins, Selwood, Dangerfield, all those guys. They're not at the top of the list all the time now.
Yep.
That's why they sit on top of
it. It's incredible where they've come from, though, because at the start of the year and trade period was the discussions of, and we were all having them, do they go to the well again? Do they try and win the premiership? Do they try and play finals? Or are they being stubborn and should they try and almost, not give it up, but bottom out and try and recruit more? Now they're sitting top of the tree.
The improvement's come organically, hasn't it, with Atkins going into the middle. But Tyson Stengel, too, just another recruiting genius move.
Deconing and his improvement.
Jeremy Cameron at the peak of his powers. Zach Guthrie. And they still haven't got Parfitt and Radiguilea aren't even in the team at the moment. They're two of their younger. They were pinning their hopes on.
It's bloody annoying, to be honest, for all other footy fans.
And I know it's a long way off, but don't be surprised if they keep topping up again next year and just keep staying at the top. But that's a long way off.
Who have you got? Give us the scoop.
No, we don't know any names, but I wouldn't be surprised if they keep rolling with some mature players. Hey, we'll get to a break because Damo, there's plenty happening. We're going to chat about the new head high tackle rule. There's been an interpretation, well, maybe reinforcement to that rule.
We'll talk about it.
Priority pick, Damo, you want to get that off your chest and we'll chat about some recontracted coaches. That's all still to come after this on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Did you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did anyway.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey, Damo, Daisy and Duck. And it's now time, Damo, to break some footy news.
Joey, just want to have a look at the Round 19, or going into Round 19 announcement of the AFL yesterday, where even Gillon McLachlan, the CEO of the AFL, went public with the need to sharpen up the meaning and the context around their head-high tackle. It's unusual because only 4 or 5 weeks ago, they again clarified or sought to clarify publicly the stand the mark rule. And you were big on that for a long time before they did that. But while they argue they're not changing the rule, it's just the clarification around it, it's unusual to wait until this stage of a season going into finals to actually be so adamant that this is now the way the rule looks. And I'm sorry, I'm more confused out of what they tried to present yesterday by way of clearing up the matter. I am simply more confused now than I was even a month ago, and I was more confused a month ago than I was 2 months ago. So it's a mess. It's a complete mess. And I'd rather you guys, at least for the outset of this conversation, talk about what you're seeing, because you're the ones who've been out there and you're the ones who know the trends in the game and how it's got to this stage.
My first question, though, to you, is it unusual for the AFL to tighten rules throughout the season or to tighten interpretations? I would think it happens nearly most years.
Absolutely.
Where there is something that they go...
They don't admit it, though.
They don't... Well, sometimes
the
they
public
do,
side
sometimes
of it, Joey,
don't.
The public side of it's unusual. And twice now in basically a month, the industry has had to go public with what it feels it needs to do at that point
in
time.
Because it is a talking point, though. It's been a massive talking point, so they needed to clarify.
We get potted by the public when we sit there and talk about the game, whether it be on TV or on radio, and they say, oh, how can you don't even know the rules. I'll tell you why we don't know the rules, because the bloody rules change from the start of the year to the mid-year. And even the holding the ball at the start of the year, when we got the examples, if you got spun 360 in a tackle and haven't given off the handball within the 360 spin, it would be holding the ball. How many times have you seen that in the last 10 weeks?
Yeah.
You see it every single week. It's not paid holding the ball. That interpretation has changed. Now we find ourselves in another situation where the interpretation apparently is changing, and the interpretation is going to be different from this point on. I mean, it's
I know you're big on this,
so
Duck. I'd love for the AFL to sit down with some of the players and discuss the rule changes. So if you want to figure out how to adjudicate these things and what's actually going to happen on game day, speak to a player about it. Speak to some of the big players, the big names, and get their take on it, and then there'll be a great understanding of adjudicating. If you go and chat to Scotty Pendlebury, who does every now and then lift an arm, and he says, all right, well, as a blanket rule, if you're the one causing the contact and then it hits you in the head, tough titties, you know, that's not going
to
be a
freaky. That's what it's meant to be now. That was the one take out
but
I got
again,
out of yesterday.
But again, the AFL is saying now to the umpires, well, don't, you know, blow the whistle on Ginnivan any different than you would, but they're doing it. The subconscious of the umpires is coming through in games because it's been spoken about. There's no clarity from the AFL as to what's actually happening on the ground from players.
Out of all of this, I feel sorry for the umpires.
Yeah.
I really
do.
They're the ones that get booed off the ground. They're the ones that cop the criticism off everyone, and it's not their fault. I'd like the AFL every year when we get the tape to show us what's going to happen at the start of the year, I'd like them to show that to the whole public. these are going to be the new interpretations. This is how it's going to be umpired. So then when they see the rule change during the year, just like us, then they can go at the AFL and not the umpire, because it's not the umpire's fault.
But in general, do we like that they've tightened up on and they're not going to pay these as free kicks if players initiate? Do you like the rule now, or the tightening of the rule?
I think the rule should be, if you're the one who causes the contact and you drop a knee or whatever, the umpire should lean more on play on.
Yes. What about do you agree with that too?
What about driving with the head?
Now, that's always, well, that's prior
shooting. No. So when I say driving with the head, it's a little bit different to the lowering yourself. I'm talking about when you pick the ball up on a half volley, so you're already over the footy and you're coming at me directly or on the side, whatever it is, and you drive with your head to go through a gap or deliberately go through your groin or your legs or whatever, so you get head high.
Yep.
That's as dangerous as any act.
That's the same. That should be play on.
So you think that's play on as well?
I think they're better at adjudicating that. I think they're a lot better at adjudicating that one when you go with your head at someone and they, because players also are pretty smart now. They almost like wait for that pause of a second before they then jump on. The umpires are good at that. The issue is the one where now, obviously, the arm goes up, you get them by the head, and it's almost players now going, well, I've got you in the head. I'm just going to continue to belt you.
That's going to be the next layer now to see whether the umpires over officiated and players are now genuinely getting taken head high contact and not getting free kicks. That's going to be now
but
what we're going to look
for. But if that's the overcorrection and you're the player who's causing it, bad luck.
No, but not if, but if you're not causing it and you just the umpire thinks you did.
It'll be a free for all.
Daisy, your point, and I noticed that with Ginnivan, and that was my concern about Ginnivan. I reckon players, they're coming in with a swinging arm. There's a bit more venom in it because they know they're not going to be paid a free kick. That's a concern for me, is that players now, you can coat hanger someone if they lower at the knees and you're not going to get a free kick again.
Yes, that's right.
Well, Jonas,
that's the point.
So we're encouraging
players then to not lower at the knees and not get coat hangered.
Mm.
That's the whole point.
Joey, you study the game. The evolution of the tackle, I heard Lee Matthews the other day, and he still is the best commentator when it comes to reflecting and giving context to whatever we're talking about. The tackling back in his day was around the waist, even high legs. It's come up gradually to the point where we are now on the verge of the neck.
As a starting point. Because anyone who thinks you should lower and tackle at the waist is still living in 1960.
Yeah.
Tackling at the waist is now the most relevant thing ever. Because a player just lifts his arms and can do what he wants with it.
But the other
point, you have to tackle the arms now.
Rugby league used to be around the ankles. Yeah. Now it's around the body as well because they offload.
They can still offload.
Yeah, and the other point is that the clubs, again, tell me if I'm wrong, but the clubs are telling their players don't dispose it. In the 80s, 70s, whatever you want to say, you were touched. You just got rid of it under all circumstances. Now you're holding it.
Absolutely. You're trained for
it. So we've got to 2022, where we can't deal with what this situation is.
That's right.
Created.
So that's why we need to keep tinkering with the rules, because the game evolves. If you tackle around the waist, every player in the competition now will still get a disposal away. So that becomes pointless tackle. So you have to tackle the arms and pin the arms is the only way to stop good players, or most players.
So we've got to the absolute ultimate point now where you can tackle. So the head's the only thing that's left.
That's right. Yeah. You've got to try and stay away. And that's why now, because you've only got to lower a couple of inches, because if you're tackling around someone's bicep, a couple of centimetres, you drop, then it becomes high. So that's why it is tricky, but anyway, we'll see how it goes, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about it in the next few weeks.
Next 10 years.
Along with the tribunal. Damo, what about the priority pick at North Melbourne, situation there?
Duck and I got a bit heated last week, didn't we, Duck, over a differing view on this. So I'm still adamant they shouldn't get one. Their problems are their own doing. I know what you said, Duck, about historically clubs in this situation get one.
All the clubs that have been in this situation have been their own doing.
Yeah, but North wants a priority pick. They haven't even got a recruiting staff at the moment to actually utilise that pick. Now, I know they will by the time the draft comes around, and I know that they will. But I just feel the competition definitely needs a point where that is it. You go and sort out your own problems. We'll give you assistance through other means, but we're not compromising the entire draft system because of your incompetence. And that's what it gets to, because while it's one pick, people say it's one pick, where it falls, whether it's the second pick of the draft, whether it's halfway through the first round days, whether it's at the end of the first round, you put every single club behind that pick back a rung. And that does impact on those clubs who've done good business to get to that point.
For what it's worth, I'm not saying they deserve a pick because they're North Melbourne. It's got nothing to do with it. I've just seen what other clubs in have actually had the same thing. So given where they're at and how weak and how poor they are because of their own doing, They still deserve a pick because it was their own doing of all those other clubs as well.
But is Damo's point not right? There can be a better way to do it as opposed to affecting the other teams in the competition. So you can give the Kangaroos some more assistance in other ways.
Give them an extra assistant coach. That's
without
a problem in itself too.
The other teams that have done nothing wrong. The other 17
teams. But again, all those drafts that we've spoken about when teams have got priority picks, according to this logic, they've been compromised. Okay. In the manner if you give North Melbourne one. So I've got no issue if you say
Leon Cameron and...
but to your point, though, can the AFL say, all right, from 2025 onwards, that's it. There's no matter who you are and how bad you're going. Because then there's an infinite...
I'd like them to do that, Days, but they won't.
They like keeping it open just in case they need to use it.
They need the wiggle room, Joey, everything. They need the wiggle room when they head high tackles.
That's right. There's always wiggle room. You need it. Yeah. Hey, what about, just quickly, the contracted coaches? Rhett Ratney in particular, Stewie Jew.
You're not coming for Stewie again,
are you? And then all of a sudden they start
playing
poorly. You're
like Hutchie. You start put words in my mouth that I don't actually say.
I don't know why you hate him.
No, what I wanted to raise, though, and this is probably for you, Joey, as much as the other two, the Saints, they're in a world of hurt right now, and it comes 2 weeks or 3 weeks after Brett Ratten was re-signed. It's not the type of trajectory the club would have wanted when they did go public. I know they had a good result straight away after that announcement, but the two matches since have been really, really poor. In fact, amongst the worst results under Brett Ratten's time, and now there's a two-year continuation of his time as a Saint beyond this one.
Yeah, it is. It's a fair point. It's made it tricky because I think we all thought at the start of the year St Kilda were a team around about eighth spot. They might make finals, they might miss. So they probably are at where we thought, but it's clearly come off the back of being 8-3 and having a different expectation on them. Whether that's affected them internally and they've just lost an eye to starting to think about finals and performance, and they've lost focus and lost sight on what actually made them a good team at the start of the season, it may be something, but... there's still a fair bit of work to do with the footy club, not just the talent, not just the game plan, but also within the players, the ability to change the course of a game that's not going their way, to back up after a poor performance. There's still things that they're working on as a group that might take a bit more time.
Concern for me with the Saints, and I wrote about this, is Ryder is their barometer. If he plays well, they win. If he doesn't play, they seem to go missing. And Hill's the other one that they keep. If Hill gets a heap of the ball and uses it well, then they look like a really good team. If he gets tagged out of it or doesn't touch it, then they look really poor. And one's 29 turning 30 and the other one's 34.
34 and won't be seen again this year.
That's a real concern. Yep. They're the red flags for me.
Yep.
They're very one-dimensional, aren't they? If the plan A doesn't work, there doesn't seem to be any plan B or C. And there might be, but they just can't execute it at the moment. And that's why they're getting exposed. The start of the season, it was their speed on offense, but also on defense, which was pleasing.
Yeah.
Best second, third quarter team. They were unbelievable. They were fit. They were attacking. They would be defensively sound for the entire match. Whether or not that sort of the fitness levels have dropped off a little bit and they're not able to sustain it for long enough, but they can be cut open rather easy.
Yeah, it's more the fact that they just don't play plan A for more consistently enough. Yeah. It's too inconsistent with plan A. Hey, we might get into the duck dive after this.
And just quickly on the Gold Coast, mate, you're allowed one off week. They've been up for a long time.
It was a very off week.
It was, but you, a lot of clubs have had one off week.
Do you stand by that Stewie Jew should be sacked?
I never said in the first place.
No,
they have been up for a long time.
I'm going to actually get physical with you.
I would like you to.
Let's see how they respond.
I'll take that back.
Let's see how they respond in the Q Clash this week, the Gold Coast, and then Damo.
Yeah,
biggest Q Clash I can remember.
It is huge, huge. There's still a chance to play finals, the Gold Coast Suns, but they have to beat the Brisbane Lions, and we'll look at that game a bit later on. But up next, we're going to take a look at the Daisy Duck Dive. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
A little bit of a Tony Deliberatore there, Baz.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub.
Absolutely outstanding by me.
I'm good from the waist down.
It's the Daisy Duck Dive.
One, two. Righto, Duck Daisy. Damo, you can jump in as well with today. I want to start with the Sydney Swans because they are coming. They are young. They are brash. They are bold. Can they do the Western Bulldogs of 2016?
I'm glad you said Damo can be, because he's been on this bandwagon all year.
He has been strong on the Swans.
To answer your question, from my opinion, yes, they can.
Even from outside the top four?
Yes, they can.
Yeah, I'm on board as well. I think they will probably be in that top four or maybe just miss, but... their footy and
their
best is
good enough, isn't it?
That's the old cliche. Yeah. Their best is good enough, but we've seen their best against the best, and that is good enough.
Mm. Yeah. Joey, the parallels, if you want to draw that fairy tale element to what they're doing, with the Bulldogs in 2016 are there. 2015, as we know, the Dogs lost by a kick, an elimination final to the Crows.
Yep.
Last year, the Swans lost elimination final by a kick to GWS. So there's that parallel.
Mm.
You've also got a man by the name of Chad Warner, who is in his third season of footy, as Marcus Bontempelli was in his third season of footy in 2016.
Emerging as a superstar.
Did you declare him as winning a Brownlow?
Yes. Did I do it on this show last week? Was it another platform?
I heard it somewhere.
He will win. I've gone early, and I admit that, but he will win a Brownlow. It could be next year, Dace.
I am
all in on this guy, like very few players before him. But look, there's an excitement level to them. I mean, we've discussed Paddy McCartan regularly. They've got the back line. But they've got the explosiveness around the midfield. Buddy Franklin gets talked about a lot, but I'm telling you, there's not going to be one team that wants to play against him in a final when they get there. Just trust me on that one. And I reckon they've got all elements. If Tom Hickey stays fit, I reckon they're there. And their draw in the next 5 weeks, sorry to take over the duck dive, boys, but their draw in the next 5 weeks has them
all
finishing
winnable,
top four.
Very winnable games. Here's a question just off the top, man. Would they consider playing Josh Kennedy in a final? Because he's no longer in their best 22, and that's fair enough. You know, players move past Chad Warner.
Put him as your medical sub
in a final.
If somebody goes down, you'd be preying on it being a midfielder with a concussion or something. He's a pretty handy replacement to go in and play other paddocks.
That's the problem. My theory on the sub is it's got to be speed.
Yeah.
Or versatile.
You have speed. Yeah.
It gives you more options, doesn't it?
But given the amount of footy that he's missed, it'd have to be as a sub, I would have thought.
Good discussion. Speed or experience in finals as a sub. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Probably versatility is the bigger one over them.
This one I've sort of stolen a bit from Damo, and one I certainly know he's not on. This is about the Bombers. Is there such a thing as fake wins in the back end of the season?
Yep.
There's been some media commentary around this.
Yep.
Do you believe in that, Duck?
Well, they play with the freedom because they're not playing for anything anymore. I mean, there's no pressure on them whatsoever. Sides like the Gold Coast, and I talk about this all the time. It's the reason why some of these sides are faltering is because they simply know what's on the line and the expectation and everything else. And they know what's going to happen if they lose. And the other side, well, they just go, they've just been told, go out, take the game on, you know, play with a flair. And that's what they do. And that's why you get so many upsets in these, final six, five rounds.
You are allowed to improve as the season goes on and work on your game. Because we know they had issues.
You're damned if you don't.
They missed four or five of their really integral players. Their first 6 weeks, they played Melbourne, Brisbane, Geelong, Freo, Collingwood. So, yes, they got it wrong at the start of the year. We all acknowledge that. They acknowledge that. They got it wrong. But all you can do at the back end of the year is work on your football and improve your game. And I think they're showing some really strong signs.
They are. And they've turned it around, which is, full credit to them. Yes, they are playing with some freedom, but I don't think that's because there's nothing on the line for them. If they were losing games of football, arguably they've got as much on the line as anyone, because we were, we were coming for them. As in the media.
The footy world was watching them.
The players don't have anything on the line. The coaches.
Well, they have personal performance.
Shealy thinks he had nothing to play for.
Correct. Heppel, McGrath, the leaders of that footy club were questioned, and they've been able to turn it around. I think every now and then we just need to step back and not look for a reason to say, hey, this doesn't count for anything. Give them a pat on the back and say, well done, you've deserved this, and full credit to you.
Spoken about the Cats, but is Chris Scott clearly the best coach in the AFL?
Geez, he was good on Saturday night. His plan and the execution. The best part about being a coach, you can have the best plans in the history of the world, but if you can't get it sold to your players to go out and execute, it means absolute diddly squat. Watching on Saturday night, he dismantled Carlton.
Mm.
They had no option. They had players queuing up through the corridor. They couldn't get the ball there. They were forced long down the line. Geelong had three or four players. But then from that, their ability to play, spread, and score was unbelievable. Vossi in the coach's box had no answers, and not no answers in terms of he wasn't trying to not implement things, but what he tried to implement, to the point I just made, the players couldn't go out and then change it in game, which is coaching 101. It was absolute masterclass.
I think he's reinvented himself. There's no question. But I think John Longmire's done the same thing as well at Sydney. So hard to toss. What I do love about Chris Scott, though, I just love the way he speaks. He's just common sense. He's matter of fact. Mm. There's no crap.
Yeah.
I could listen to him all day.
Yeah, I think I would have liked to have played under Chris Scott as a coach. Hey, just quick two more. Mitch McGovern made a comeback last week for the Blues in their reserves. If he comes back into the senior side, is he the missing piece for the Blues? Jeez, that can get them to a grand final. Mitch McGovern.
Why do players get better when they're injured. because he'd just become a backman, yes, and he was just starting to go okay.
Exactly.
His improvement, though, Trend's your friend, yeah, he was getting better and better.
Becoming okay.
Well, let's project.
Now we're talking about him like his brother.
Let's project. What can Mitch McGovern do to the
Blues?
He's
become Peter Dean, hasn't he?
Put it this way. Given his history, I wouldn't expect him to come back in and have a massive impact. That's what I think.
I think he's going to play a pivotal part. Because he runs and jumps at the footy, and that's the thing they don't have down there. They've got Wiedering, who is the old-fashioned caravan, play from behind punch. Lewis Young down there, who's a slightly more agile
version. And doing all he
can
do at the moment, isn't he? Correct. I think he's holding up.
Trying his guts out.
Bad week last week, but who's not going to have a bad week against that Geelong
team? But in terms of like somebody actually coming across.
He's back through the VFL last week.
He played a VFL game last week.
Making a play at balls. Yeah. He has closing speed to come across and be third man in and help out in that regard. I think it is a bloody good question, and I think he's going to have a real say in how far they can
go. Watch this space. He could be the X Factor come finals.
I'm not sure he was doing that before he was injured.
Okay, last one.
By the way, I, for Carlton's sake, I hope he does exactly what you're saying.
Good retraction.
No, I'm not retracting one bit. Has he got the ability?
Never say but.
Has he got the ability to do those things?
He's got the ability.
Yes, he has got the ability.
Oh, you're not questioning the ability.
Have we seen it?
That was a no for people that can't see this.
Well, it is recorded.
Yes, true. Hey, Damo, I'll get yours as well, but I'll go Daisy first and then Duck. Give me right now your four preliminary finalists. Oh. If it was starting this weekend, who would you be picking to play in the prelims?
Geelong, Melbourne, Frio and Brisbane. I'm going to go the obvious.
Okay.
Mine's changing week by week.
Yeah, well, everyone's just changing week by week. That's why it's a good question.
I'm pretty confident that Melbourne will give the Dogs a touch up this week, so I'll have them back as my second seed. Geelong, Melbourne, Fremantle, Sydney.
Damo?
All right. I've been big on Geelong all year, so I'm staying with them, but I'm elevating Sydney into the grand final spot.
Wow.
Over Melbourne, over Brisbane.
Oh, right. Melbourne not to make the grand final.
You have got Collingwood. That would be massive. So none of you have got Collingwood making a prelim, even though they've won 8 straight.
I hope they do. But their wins you can only win, and again, credit to them, but they haven't been the most convincing fashion.
Collingwood's had a great year. They're not winning a grand final.
But can they make a prelim? Well, you haven't got them in. They can make it, but you haven't got them in it. No. Very good. Hey, let's take a look after this at the round 19 action. As always, some huge games that are going to shape the finals. We'll touch on that after this. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I've studied the form for 81 days, and the answer is we've got no idea.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. And boys, before we have a look at the round 19 game, starting with Richmond Frio Friday night, we have to think about that. That's huge. We like to look back and hold ourselves accountable from last week's game. And it looks like the Oracle has been borrowed by a couple in this booth here, Daisy, because let's just start with Wayne Carey, which none of us remembered. But the Duck, surprisingly, the Oracle.
I think North showed a lot last week and showed that they have got a lot of talent.
That's not a tip. Hang on, I've got
the Oracle.
I'm not giving him that. I'm hungover last week.
I'm prepared to say, I'm not sure I tipped him.
That is the broadest spectrum.
That's not a tip. Who'd you tip in the age?
No, I don't think
Richmond.
I'm pretty sure I tipped
Richmond. Have you climbed off the bottom? Have you climbed off the bottom of the age?
I tipped Richmond. But talking about that, Richmond Fremantle, that's a big game. I think Frio are certainties.
Frio certainly is against Richmond.
I'm with you in this one, Duck. I think that this week is going to be a real round of blowouts. So I look to the bigger games that we'll be speaking about.
They'll give us Friday night. Is that a blowout?
Fremantle.
To blow out Richmond.
By 5 or 6 goals or more.
It's a marvel. Hey, they've only lost 4 of their last 11, Richmond, by a combined 11 points.
Yep, that's losing form.
Wow.
I can't have it. I'm going for the Tigers in that one, Joe.
I'm going to go with you, Dame. I think Richmond at Marvel.
Last time you came with me against Fremantle.
Frio had a good win last time at Marvel.
They did against the Saints, 41 points.
And then
they
were really poor against Carlton just before, a couple of weeks before that. So anyway, we've got no idea.
They've adapted.
Can North Melbourne back it up? Duck, seeing you tipped them so confidently last week against Richmond.
They've got lots of talent.
Jeez. Can they back it up against the Hawks?
A good player.
It's a winnable game against Hawthorne.
On form, you tip North. On form.
Now, Hawks had a win too.
That's two wins in a row.
But I'd... I'm going to... I'll tip Hawthorne. Yeah.
Geez, that was as matter of fact as I've ever heard anyone tip anyone with as much certainty. Hawthorn, I think it'll be a good game, but I think the Hawks will get it done late.
I'm tipping North Melbourne to keep it rolling. They've showed a lot the last few weeks.
They have.
I think North Melbourne can win. Absolutely.
They might have gone.
I'm going for Hawks in that one.
Might have gone a bit silly after a win for the first
time. No, I don't subscribe to that at all, Duck.
What about Port Adelaide Geelong at the Adelaide Oval?
They should have gone as bitter as they wanted to.
Port Adelaide weren't disgraceful against Melbourne. In fact, they probably had their chances against Melbourne.
If it wasn't for Cozzy Pickett, I think they win, don't they? Probably. I know that's a big sort
definitely
of beef,
Petrarca
but...
and Pickett. If Petrarca and Pickett single-handedly, you'd think almost got Melbourne over the line.
I think Geelong will flex their muscles.
I'm with you again, Duck. I think this is another blowout.
It's grand final for Port Adelaide. Damo, can they win?
They can, but they won't. Geelong.
I agree. I think we're all going the Cats there. What about the Q Clash? We mentioned that. Brisbane found a bit of form. Their last 9 games, they've gone win-loss, whatever I'm up to. Gold Coast obviously need to bounce back after that shocking performance against Essendon. Do we have trust in Gold Coast?
I was really disappointed with them last week. Really disappointed. I know they were due for a downer, and I get that. I know the way the cycle works for a team trying to push through. And to your point, Duck, there was a bit at stake, wasn't there? Yeah. They could have finished the round equal on premiership points to the 8th place team. They finish it 4 behind and a lot of percentage. I don't trust them enough yet, so I'm going for Brisbane.
They've broken a lot of trends this year that they haven't done previously. I think they will break this losing streak against Brisbane. I think they can win.
For all my love and admiration of the Gold Coast Suns, I think Brisbane give them a touch-up as well.
Is this one of your blowout
Another blowout.
I think Brisbane as well, but I actually would love to see Gold Coast win this one. Your other blowout one, Daisy, the Bulldogs Melbourne Saturday night. You think...
Fell off my seat, Joey. I was doing my crosses the other week for points bet and saw the line went up at -8.5 for Melbourne, which is... I know you gamble responsibly, all those sort of things, but I thought that would have gone up 4 or 5 goals. I can't believe that the people are considering Melbourne to be an 8-point better side than the Western Bulldogs. The Western Bulldogs beat St Kilda on the weekend, who are no good. The Western Bulldogs just got it done on the back of Marcus Bontempelli being brilliant. Again, Melbourne by a minimum 6 goals for me.
We're agreeing a lot. I think Melbourne.
I'm coming with you on this one, though.
Get on board, Damo.
Melbourne as well, but geez, it'll throw a spanner in the works if the Dogs roll Melbourne. Wouldn't it?
And,
all of a sudden, what do we start saying about the Dogs?
Yeah.
Bloody annoying.
I know that.
This is the narrative changing game for so many reasons.
And for Melbourne as well. Quickly, last couple. Collingwood Essendon. Big one on Sunday. This is a cracker. Bombers are in good form.
They are.
Collingwood have won 8 straight with a couple of close wins.
Bombers knocked off the Swans. Gold Coast,
Brisbane,
and Saints.
St Kilda.
And
should have beaten West Coast.
And the only loss in that was to West Coast.
And they dominated all the stats.
They're the informed side. Look, just purely again because we got on board Collingwood last week on the back of getting a lot of hate, and they haven't let me down, so I'm all aboard to make it 9 in a row. Hot pies.
I think the Bombers.
You're coming around to the Bombers.
Coming around.
I like it.
Well, I'm sticking true to my fake wins description of what they're doing, Joey. So, Collingwood.
Is that you who came up with fake wins?
that's why I went with it. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
I listened to some of these other Damo shows. I like Damo's other shows.
They're fake wins.
And then the last one, is this a danger game for St Kilda playing the West Coast Eagles Sunday twilight over in Perth?
West Coast win.
What?
I will happily go on the record.
Ooh. By a lot.
No, I think this will be a good game. But again, I just can't have what the Saints are doing. And wouldn't be surprised, again, if they came out and won by 10 goals and made me look stupid. But from what we've seen, and again, on the trend fashion, West Coast Eagles have been serviceable. They're not shooting the lights out by any stretch. But St Kilda have been really poor. Home ground advantage for West Coast is huge. I think they're going to win that. And I think that'll be the upset of the round.
Yeah, I'd probably tip West Coast in that one as well.
Come on, Duck, let's go.
Yeah, I am too. I tipped them last week against Hawthorn and they weren't up to it, but I reckon they will be up to it against St Kilda.
Best thing about when you're under the pump like St Kilda are, you go away as a group, you get there early, get over to Perth, sit around the hotel room together, bit of bonding, look each other in the eye and they'll bounce back.
Just on that, is there anyone you're worried about the buffets with?
There are a few.
A bit sluggish.
I remember Simo talking about McGovern's. I remember he said when he first took over and Jeremy didn't mind the buffets a little bit too much.
Ross Lyon was big on the. He always kept an eye on the buffet. Yes. So us older blokes, we used to get younger blokes to go and get the extra bread rolls. So we'd send up and go, can you go and get 4 bread rolls and bring them back?
Because
Rossi would just be sitting there. Who's going for their second or third bread roll and all that sort
more,
of
thing. Don't you?
Brendan Bolton took the buffets off the option and you just had a set menu to pick from. Took all the fun out of it. Then we'd walk down to 7-Eleven and get $300 worth of chocolate.
It's been another very, very good show, boys. Enjoy your weekend. Damo, we know you got to get a move on, so we'll let you go. Duck, you got to go for another walk.
I'm going squid fishing.
You're going fishing. Yeah. Squid bought a fishing rod.
I've got a fishing rod. Where? Apparently the squid are off biting down a Tortsy pier.
Oh, happy
days. Look out. So if I catch some, I'll bring them in.
Beautiful. Hey, this has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, of course, exclusive on the Listener app. And you can listen to every game this weekend on Triple M and the Listener app, starting with the big clash Friday night between Richmond and Frio, Darce Howie, Nath Brown, Damo and the Chief. Looking forward to that. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Triple M Footy.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.